One of the things Chuck had on the list of things that he wanted covered this weekend was how to keep yourself alive in the rush of the ministry. And I kind of titled this session, Keeping Physically and Spiritually Fit. It's for sure that everyone who is involved in a people ministry knows the feeling of being pressured for time. And being involved with people does take time. Even though I don't have an outside job, yet many times I feel that I'm really getting uptight because it seems like there are so many things to be done and never enough time to do everything that you would like to do. And oftentimes, too, I have felt if only I could grab a hold of the hands on the clock and hold them back for a while so that I would have more time to get things done. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that or not, but it just seems like when you're really busy at that clock, the hands on that clock really do zoom around. And I know, too, that those of you who work all day and carry on a ministry after that really know the feeling of being pressured and that it really is hard to get everything done. And in order to keep yourself alive in the rush of the ministry, the first thing we must do, I think, is to plan our time wisely. Now, most of us know what the week coming up holds for us, and we should plan accordingly. Now, there are exceptions, of course, when something comes up and we have to drop our plans. And this is good for us because it keeps us flexible. But I think for most weeks that we probably know what our responsibilities are going to be for that particular week. And I think we need to plan what we're going to do with our time. In other words, if we have a Bible study to prepare for, then determine when you're going to prepare for it and take that time. And I feel that we are creatures of habit. And I think that we'll save time if we do things pretty much the same each week. And I don't believe that we can separate our spiritual life from our physical life. Now, I think that there are some people who feel that they're being much more spiritual when they're reading their Bible and praying. But I believe that the spiritual and the physical are so interwoven that I can actually glorify God no matter what I'm doing. And it's not just when I'm spending time with the Lord. And this is one of the things, to me, that makes the Christian life really exciting. That no matter what I am doing, I can do it to the glory of God. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, for whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this verse says that we can actually eat to the glory of God. Therefore, when we eat, we don't throw things on the table and gulp down our food, unless we're in a big hurry. There are those times. But usually, we do it orderly. And we feel that we can glorify God in this. It seems like most of our life consists of doing physical things. I think sometimes we think of a spiritual ministry when we're giving ourselves to people. And yet, how many hours of the day do we actually do this? We spend a lot of time on just the physical things in our lives. And I think that we need to plan to take care of these things. First of all, our personal appearance. I think it's important how we look. Because when we meet girls, and if we're meeting them for the first time, first impressions do count. And if we represent Jesus Christ, I think we should look as attractive as possible. And I think we need to take time to keep ourselves well-groomed and our hair clean. In other words, I think we need to plan when we're going to do some of these things. Like all of us have to wash our hair. Well, do you wait, and then maybe you've been out all evening involved in the ministry, and you get home really late at night, and you think, oh, I have to wash my hair tonight. Well, maybe you could plan it so you could do it on one of the nights when you're not out really late. And see, I think if we get in the habit of doing these things regularly, then it'll become so much a part of us that it won't be that demanding on us. For instance, I know a lot of girls who, they just do their laundry whenever it piles up. Well, I'm not for this, because I think that if we decide to do our laundry at a certain convenient time each week when we know we have time, we get into the habit of it so that we do it almost automatically, and it's no big deal, and we can do other things at the same time. Do you see what I mean as far as really operating on consistently and doing things in a planned and orderly way? Because I think that it really does save time, and knowing when you have to get some ironing done and not ironing something every night so you have to put up the ironing board. And then, too, secondly, in regard to our living situation. Now, I know some of you live with families, but some of you live alone or with other girls. And I have felt that planning menus and shopping once a week really does save time. But if you decide, you know, each day what you're going to eat that night and maybe stop at the store, that takes time. But in our house, we plan for a week at a time. And that doesn't mean we don't stop maybe if we run out of milk or something like that. But for the most part, we plan ahead so that we know what we're going to have. And it saves a lot of time. And that way you don't have to take the time of thinking through each day. And also I feel that we need to get in the habit of picking up things daily so that then at the end of the week there isn't a lot of work to do in keeping our places looking nicely. And then thirdly, too, I feel our spiritual life. We need to have time for a daily quiet time. And we need to know when we're going to memorize those verses. And in my life, it has worked to do it at the same time each day. And I think that probably this would be the most effective. And if we don't have it planned during the day, then I think that we're doing it late at night. And I'm not convinced that the best time to review verses is late at night when we're really tired. And then, again, as I mentioned before, preparation for Bible study. Most of us know when we have a Bible study. And I know that we're all procrastinators and we wait until the last minute. But somehow I think we need to get into the habit of starting our preparation early. Because I know I feel like I want to get the Word of God that I'm studying into my mind early so that I have time to really think about it and meditate on it. Because you can do this in the odd moments that you have. Maybe if you're driving somewhere or riding a bus, if you've done a little bit of study, then you can think through on your study or that particular passage or topic. I really think it'll be a lot easier to stay on top if we really do plan our week. Then, if we let the week run us. See, if you don't plan, then your week will run you. I really believe this. And you'll have that feeling of never being on top. The most active people are not always the busiest. It may just look this way. And I think, too, that sometimes we may fool ourselves into thinking we're accomplishing much because we're on the go all the time. We need to evaluate our time and see if it's being used wisely. And planning ahead does save time. All work and no play makes Susie a dull girl. And I feel that this is one area that Christian girls really need to work on. And it's been my experience that NAV girls are workhorses. I've never met a lazy one, really. And I think that girls really do work hard. But I think we also need to take the time out to play or to relax. And I think sometimes fellows find it easier to do this than girls because it seems like there are so many more activities that they can be involved in. But I think it's really important for us, too. And I know this is really a fight for us in Minneapolis. Last fall, I know, we started going to the Y on Friday nights between 5 and 6 and we would swim there for an hour, and then we'd go home and eat supper, and then Friday night is cleaning night at our house. And it really worked out neat because it was between 5 and 6, you know, that hour there. Well, they changed the swimming hours this winter so that it's between 7 and 8. Well, that kind of kills the whole evening, you know, whereas before it would really fit into our schedule. But I really think it's important that you do take the time out to relax and to get some exercise. And I think it's important to do what we do with our whole hearts. No matter what we are doing, put your whole heart into it. Now, there are certain things that we don't like. And yet I think that the Lord can help us to overcome this dislike so that He really does give us a joy in doing some of these things. And it's a lot easier to do them if your whole heart is in it, too. And if we're studying, then study hard. And if you're playing, then play, you know, with your whole heart. But don't study and play at the same time. How many times do we sit down and do a Bible study and our minds, you know, are a mile away? And actually we spend maybe 3 or 4 hours, but how much time have we actually given to Bible study? And that's why I think it's important. And when we sit down to do Bible study, make sure that you're there with your whole heart and mind. If we want to keep alive in the rest of the ministry, I think we must put first things first. We need to plan our week, and then we need to put first things first. In all of our lives, there are priorities, things that need to be done first. And I think a good example from Scripture is the illustration of Mary and Martha found in Luke 10. Now, I have no doubt that there was a lot of work to do around that house because Jesus was there. And wherever Jesus was, there were a lot of people. And wherever you have a lot of people, you have work. But, and I don't think the lesson to be learned from this incident is that we should just let the housework go. But I think that there's something more important, and that is seeking the Lord first. Getting our time with Him first, and then doing the housework. We need to take the time to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to His teaching. Now, if Martha had taken the necessary time to sit at Jesus' feet, I wonder if there would have been a grumbling about the housework that she was doing. But, you know, she came to Jesus, she was complaining because Mary wasn't doing her fair share. And yet Jesus commended Mary because she was taking the time out. And I think that we need to seek the Lord first and not let anything crowd in and take this time away from us. And I feel that when we spend time with the Lord first, then we will be able to accept our circumstances with joy. The grumbling comes, I believe, when we don't spend enough time with the Lord or when we don't seek Him in the morning and ask for direction throughout the day. In other words, if we commit our day to Him and ask Him for direction and to bring us into contact with people that He wants us to talk to that day, then, when the situations happen, we can know, well, this was planned by Him, and we should accept it with joy. And I think if there is grumbling within, then we need to examine our own lives to see if we're getting enough time with the Lord. The highest priority in your life must be your daily walk with the Lord. No one else can do this for you. Each one of us is responsible for our daily walk with the Lord. And see here, we can get by because usually we don't have people checking up on us to see how much time we spend. And sometimes we can be awfully tired in the morning too. And I think sometimes if you're so tired, then maybe what you need to do is to get a little bit extra sleep and spend maybe a little bit less time with the Lord. But then it could be that time that you do spend, that you'd really be geared in during that time. Because if you're so tired sometimes, that your mind just wanders or you fall asleep, then maybe what you need is extra sleep for a few days and spend a little bit less time. But we do need that daily time with the Lord. There's a little booklet put out by InterVarsity called The Tyranny of the Urgent. I don't know how many of you have read this or not, but Mollis used it in her workshop last fall with the girls. And this booklet brings out how many important things are kept undone because things that seem urgent are pressed upon us and leave no room for the important things. In other words, there are things that it seems that we just have to do now. We have to do this, so maybe our verses, you know, we let them slip. And if you let them slip one day, it's easier to let them slip the next day. And there are so many things that can really, that we feel are really urgent, that have to be done. And that's one thing about the telephone these days. Sometimes I think it would be a blessing to live without a telephone. There are other times when it wouldn't be. But, I mean, we are really run by the telephone, aren't we? Whenever it rings, we answer it. You know, and if somebody is there, you know, asking us for something, then we're available. And sometimes the urgent things can really keep us from accomplishing really important things. You know, in John 17, before Jesus' death, he made the statement, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And I believe that God has given each one of us a job to do, a responsibility. And I wonder if we will be able to say at the end of our life, well, we finished the job that God gave us to do. And I think maybe the secret of his finishing this job was found in Mark 1:35, where Jesus got up in the morning and went out into a quiet place and there prayed. Apparently, daily, he prayerfully waited for the Father's instruction. And if he did this, how much more important it is that we do it, that we really seek the Lord's direction. Now, one of the most difficult things I find to do is to pray effectively. I don't know how you all are in your prayer life, but I think prayer is work. To really pray effectively and to pray specifically for people. And it's not always easy to day after day after day to be in there praying and bearing one another up in prayer. Yet I believe that we have to take this time to pray. It is not God who loads us down until we are exhausted. This comes from our inner compulsions coupled with the pressure of circumstances. In other words, sometimes I think we feel that, well, unless we're busy, unless we're on the go all the time, that we're not really being effective for the Lord. Now, I think that this has to be from the enemy, because I do not believe that God wants us to be on the go all the time. And yet I know sometimes it's easy to be caught up in the rush of things. Frenetic service for God can become an escape from frenetic service for God can become an escape from God. What I mean here is that sometimes I think we can be busier. I mean, we find it easier to be busy in God's service than we find it easy to spend time with the Lord. I don't know if you found this true in your own life. But we need to take time to be with the Lord and to have him, to ask, to examine our hearts and have him point out areas in our life that we need to work on. And I don't feel that we become godly women by being busy all the time. We need extra time with the Lord. And I think we need to see, too, that the girls that we're helping are not kept busy all the time. This is really important. You will never build depth into a girl's life by keeping her busy all the time. Now, sometimes I think we may test their availability, or I'm not sure what, but I don't think you'll build depth in a girl's life by keeping her busy all the time. But we need to encourage her to get alone with the Lord when she has extra time. And I think, too, that sometimes it's a lot more fun to be on the go all the time. You know, we get caught up in the whirl of things, and when we're around people, it's fun to be around people. But what is it like when we sit alone with the Lord day after day after day? And I think we really do need to guard the time of the girls that we're working with. Otherwise, they'll be shallow, and I don't believe they'll stand in the time of stress. They need time to go really deep with the Lord. I think here that fellows can be on the go a lot more than girls. And I think sometimes that the fellows may expect you girls to be on the go all the time too. And I think that this is something that you should discuss with the man that you're working with, if you are on the go all the time. Because, I don't know, it seems like fellows don't have a lot of the things, all the personal things maybe, to do that girls have to do. And I think that this would be something that you could talk over with them. But talk it over with your area man, and then abide with his decision. And if he feels that you should be on the go, then do it. I know one time in Minneapolis, Larry Blake was in Minneapolis for some finance calling, and they were training several of us to go out and make finance calls. And there were several girls involved. Well, it was every night from about 7, I think, until 10 or 10:30. And then we were going to spend all day Saturday. Well, by about Friday night, all of us are, you know, a little bit on the weak side. So Friday night I talked to Larry, and I said, do you suppose that we could work it out so we could go a half day on Saturday and instead of the whole day? Well, Larry thought about it, and then he told me later that he felt that the girls needed the training and that we should go the whole day. So I thought, that's fine. And no grumbling on my part, because I thought, well, at least I was honest. I didn't grumble inside. I said something to him, and he thought we should go the whole day, and we made it. Fine, we're still living today, you know. But I think sometimes we can, if we do really feel the pressure is too great on the girls, that just be honest and ask them anyway. And then abide, accept the decision that they make and abide by it. Then we really need to evaluate what is important in our lives and then do these things first. Make a list of things that are going to be priority in your life. Then the third thing I have down here is to keep your own spiritual life strong and healthy if you want to stay alive in the rush of the ministry. Dawson Troutman made the statement, there are many Christian girls, but few godly women. And I don't think we become godly by just a few minutes with the Lord each day. Have you ever asked the question, why is it that some people seem to have a greater desire to know God than others? Now, I personally feel that the key is in response. Now, as we respond to God and obey Him, I believe that He reveals Himself to us. And I think our responsibility is to respond to Him. Now, David was called a man after God's own heart. Maybe the reason is found in Psalm 27:8. When God called him, or when God called and asked him to seek his face, he responded and sought him. And I wonder how many times God calls us to seek him, and we're too busy. You know, well, in a few minutes when I finish this. And I think we need this heart response with God so that when he calls us and wants our fellowship, we are available to him. Now, sometimes I've wondered, well, why is it that some people seem to have a greater desire for the Lord or to get to know him than others? I think you've probably noticed that in girls, too. It seems like there are some girls who really have this intense desire to know God. And then there are others that it doesn't make that much difference. And this has really puzzled me because I've from the time that I received the Lord, it just seems like there has been something inside me that has compelled me to really get to know Jesus Christ. And I think, well, doesn't everybody else who knows Christ, you know, have the same desire? And then I finally come to the conclusion that it must be because of response. I mean, I respond. I want to know Him. And as we respond, I believe that He will reveal Himself to us as we respond and obey Him. You know, John 14:21 is really a great verse. It says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And I will love, let's see, how does it, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and I will love him.
And
will be loved of my Father, and I will manifest myself to him. In other words, obedience, I think, responding to the Lord, results in Jesus Christ manifesting himself to us. And if we feel maybe that we're not getting to know Christ as we should, maybe it's that we're not obeying him as we should. And as we read and study the Word of God, we need to obey. In fact, sometimes I think obedience is a key word in the Christian life. And we're not doing these things for head knowledge. We're not getting into the Word of God so we can share with other girls. This is not the reason I spend time with the Lord. I spend time with the Lord to strengthen my own life. I can't make it. I really can't live the way I want to live without Jesus Christ. So when I get into this book, it's not so that I'll pick up knowledge and be able to help others, but it's so that I can live the life myself. Our pastor has said, God has no favorites, but he does have intimates. Mm-hmm. And we decide whether or not we are going to be an intimate. In other words, God wants each one of us to be intimate with him. But we are the ones who decide if we will be intimate, because he will never overpower us and force us to be close to him. He'll ever be there calling us to him, to himself. But we are the ones who will decide if we're really going to let him reign in our lives and really get to know him. We need to continually strengthen our spiritual life. There are times when we will be extremely busy and we won't be able to get the time that we need. And all of us have experienced times like this in our lives, when it seems like there are so many extra things to do. And yet at times like this, I think we need to claim Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And we need to, during times when we're really busy, and maybe we're not getting as much time as we would like, to really claim this promise that even though we're not getting as much time as we'd like, ask the Lord to really strengthen us and to help us, particularly during this time. I think, too, that we need to be sure that our own spiritual life is kept fresh and alive and doesn't become stale. The true test of our spiritual life is not during those first exciting years of knowing Christ, but it's year after year after year having the same heart's desire to know Jesus Christ. There are many girls who start out and then pretty soon you don't see them around anymore. But I think that we really need to cultivate, you might say, our walk with the Lord. Because I think, well, I remember, too, when I was first challenged to get into the Word. I tell you, everything was so new and wonderful. It was just, you know, you kind of are walking along on cloud nine. But then, what happens after that? Do we still have that same desire for the Lord? In fact, I was thinking of, what is it, in Revelation 2 or 3, it speaks about these people had left their first love. Now, sometimes that's been kind of a puzzling verse to me in a way, because, I mean, as I look back on my first love, when I first received the Lord, I mean, I was really glad to be a Christian. It was exciting. But I feel, in some ways, that I love the Lord more today than I did then, because I've experienced more of Him, and I found Him to be absolutely trustworthy. And to me, the Christian life is exciting. And it's just exciting today as it was, you know, many years ago when I first trusted Christ. And this is the way that it should be. We need to really keep guard over our hearts. And I know when I worked for the Morkans in Hong Kong, Helen Morkan often said, "The thing I fear most is a hard heart." And you know, we can sometimes, we might become hardened to some of the things that we hear. And you know, we can go to weekend conferences and we hear basically the same things over and over again. And I can't even remember, I mean, I couldn't even count probably all the conferences that I've been to. And yet, you know, I still feel that the Lord uses these conferences in my life. And I want it to be that way. I don't want it to be that, oh, here I have to go to another conference, you know, and hear the same things over and over again. But I think we need to be reminded of these things. And if we keep our hearts open to these things, then we'll really benefit from them. But as soon as we feel that, well, I've heard this all before, then I think we may be headed for trouble. But keep our hearts open. And then I think, too, that am I talking beyond my experience when I share with a girl? You know, sometimes we share with others how Christ can really satisfy the inner needs. And yet, are we actually experiencing this satisfaction? And I think all of us experience at times that this inner dissatisfaction. And then I think what we need to do is to come to the fountain of living waters and take another long drink. And then we will find that satisfaction again. But don't talk to girls about being satisfied within if you're not really satisfied in your own life. And see, sometimes we, as girls, can talk well. I mean, we can share these things because we've heard them. But I think as we share, we need to keep guard over our own hearts and make sure that we are experiencing what we're talking about. And I know there have been times in my life when I've gone through some really difficult things. And at these times, I've asked the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, no, I've talked to girls, you know, all the time about the fact that you can meet their needs, you know, in times of trial. Now I want to experience it, you know, for myself during this rough time. And it really does work, you know, as we really draw out our hearts to the Lord. I believe that He will reveal ourselves to Him. In Revelation 3:15 through 17, we read of God's comments to the church at Laodicea. He said, "I know you well. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are merely lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich with everything I want. I don't need a thing.' And you don't realize that spiritually you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And I think sometimes we may tend to be a little bit blind to our own needs. And we need to keep our hearts really open so that the Spirit of God can get through to us. And as we're reading the Word and spending time with the Lord, be obedient to Him and apply this book to your life. Let's not let the enemy blind us into thinking that our spiritual life is okay as it is. But what we need to do is to continue to follow hard after the Lord. And see, I feel that we may be spending time with the Lord regularly each morning, and we're memorizing verses and everything. But what do we do with maybe some extra time that we have? Do we take that time to really seek the Lord, or do we do something else with it? And I think we need to spend extra time. Maybe if there's an evening that you don't have anything scheduled, how about getting some extra time with the Lord? And to me, as we really draw out our hearts to Him, then He'll reveal Himself to us, and He'll really give us a satisfying life. And He'll change us and transform our lives. Okay, now to keep alive in the rush of the ministry, first of all, plan your week or plan ahead. And then secondly, put first things first. And then thirdly, be sure that you keep your own spiritual life strong and healthy. Because when you give out continually, you need to take in. And when people are always making demands upon us, then sometimes it's almost like we run dry ourselves, and we need to come to the fountain again and get those rivers of living water flowing through us. And we need to guard that time that we spend with the Lord. Let's pray together now. Father, we thank You for the privilege that You have given us of sharing our lives with others. And we thank You, too, that we are involved in a ministry that is so important. And we pray that You would guide us in our use of time. I pray that You would help us to really plan ahead and to plan our time wisely, and that You would help us to put first things first. Help us to see things from Your point of view and to know what the priority should be in our lives. And then, Father, I pray, too, that You would really help us to guard our own spiritual walk with You. Help us to really follow hard after You. We pray that You would enable us to respond to Your love, and that as we respond, that You would reveal Yourself more to us. And, Father, we pray that we would be more excited about knowing Jesus Christ today than we were when we first trusted You. We thank You that for the way that You are at work in our hearts, and we pray that we would be sensitive to the leading and direction of the Spirit of God, and help us to really make Jesus Christ the preeminent one in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.